Hey, Pupster, welcome to Train a Dog Podcast, and we thank you for supporting us for Season 1. We are now into our Season 2, and we want to thank you for your continuous support. Pups Dog Training promotes positive training at its best, kind, fair, and effective. And we are setting out this podcast again, right? It's because we fully believe that owning a dog is an amazing and rewarding experience, but also a responsibility and not a luxury. Training your dog properly will lead you to greater understanding of the animal, and we firmly believe in the dog-owner relationship being one of the mutual understanding and respect. We immerse you fully in the dog training process, and with this holistic approach, we believe owners end up learning as much, if not more, than their dogs. Our goals is to enhance and to build a better quality of life for you and your dog through the various dog sport activities available, be it as dog training, basic dog obedience training, or competitive dog training. This way, we also helps to refine the communication skill between you and your dog. There is more to dog training than just obedience training. And you can find us on our website. Right, our URL is www.pups.com.sg. Pups as in PUPS.com.sg. And we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the handling of PupsSG, PUPSSG. And you also can find us in our blog and also our YouTube, right, with the handling of Dog or Pups Jamming Studio. And in our blog will be Pups Blog Series. Hey, Pupster, good afternoon. Thank you for joining me in the Train Your Dog podcast, and this is Dexter, your host. I want to wish everybody a happy Chinese New Year. 恭喜发财, 财源滚滚来. So I want to thank you again for joining me in this podcast, and I hope that you enjoy the last episode, episode 11 on training, playing and engagement. I hope that you have some good takeaway in learning how to play with your dog and also engaging your animal. Right, so today we are on our episode 12. Episode 12 will be on dog's reactivity and how to cope with it, right? And dog's reactivity has been a very common issue with many dog owners. That's because we have many dogs that are poorly under socialized, therefore resulted in what we call reactivity in dogs. I have been to US competing in the USDAA National or the Sino Sport 2007. Back then when I was in the US, I can see that I seldom hear dogs barking. You know, even in the competition ring, the dogs are just very quiet, except when they are running, that's full of adrenaline flying around, raging for having fun, that kind of stuff. Other than that, I don't see much of the barking. It was quite a good experience, when I first brought Max, my Border Collie, and also my Australian Shepherd, Kisha, to Scottsdale, Arizona, back in 2007. When we go to the trailing ground, we set up our tent, set up our dog bed and our crate, and then we put the dog in, and we left to get something, and our dog barks and bark, and Max barks, like Kisha didn't. Max bark and bark. So when we come back, the competitor that is sitting next to us was telling us that you need to get your dog trained. That's the funniest thing I ever seen, because Max has never barked. He was the sweetest dog I have, most intelligent, I would say. He don't bark when he's being left alone. I don't see him bark except in training, right? He so wanted to show off his capability, his strength, his intelligence. He will go for anything that they put in front of his face, right? So that is a very tough dog. No, but back then was so funny, right? So and I went back, leashed Max, and then we bring it to wherever we goes, right? And that was quite a thing, Right. So let's come back to dog reactivity, right? So what are dog reactivity? Right. Basically, dogs are beloved members of our families, right? And sometimes this behavior, can be a source of frustration and stress, right, to us, right? And one common issue that dogs may encounter is actually reactivity, right, which refers to dogs' tendency to become overly excited or aggressive in certain situation. This can be manifested in many varieties of ways, right, such as barking, lunging, or even biting when the dog encounters a certain triggers, right, as such as other dogs, people, or certain objects. So reactivity basically is a very complex issue, right, with a variety of potential causes. You know, in some cases, it may be a poor result of socialization, as I mentioned, you know, especially in urban Singapore, you know, or pets are all bought from the pet shop. They lose their time when they are young. They're supposed to be in the litter, playing the litter mates, learning the skill set, and also from the mother. These are all cut short because of, you know, dogs are being shipped out at 12 weeks. And especially those local breeder, they are letting go their dog as early as, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and so. Right, so we are getting our dogs so much earlier, and basically our dogs has all so-called lack of social skill in that sense, right? And this could be a problem of that, right? So so in some cases it may be a result, you know, as I say again, poor socialization or a lack of proper training, right, in the dog's early development, right? And also result for some traumatic experience or medical condition, right? Regardless the cause, it's important to address reactivity, right, in dogs, as it can be dangerous to both dogs and other people around, right? So the first step in resolving dogs reactivity basically is to understand the triggers, right, and the cause of what causes the dog to react. So what is triggers? Triggers can be objects, can be things, can be a stimuli, can be a antecedent that causes the dog to to take notice of it and start reacting, right? So that is what we means by trigger. So triggers can be object, things, dogs, cat, you know, anything that basically causes the dog, you know, to do or set off their reactivity. Right, once the trigger has been identified, it's important for us to avoid exposing the dog to some trigger as much as possible. Right, for example, if a dog is reactive to other dog, it may be necessary to avoid taking them on walks or area where it's likely to encounter other dogs. Let's pause here for a while. I can literally hear some of your brain that will be thinking, how would that be possible, Dexter? We are living in Singapore, urban environment, where, you know, every corner we turn, we see a dog. Yeah, I agree with you, right? So like for myself, maybe let me take my dog as an example.
This podcast is sponsored by Pups Dog Training. Pups is a positive dog training school. We train dogs from puppy to advanced. Pups Training Academy focuses on nurturing, training, educating, and motivating our trainers to better equip themselves with skills, knowledge, experience to ensure continuing education and keeping abreast with the field of dog training. Our flagship programs include online cyber puppy training, life skills, dog obedience, behavioral modification, private one-on-one home-based training, and dog sports.
This dog, this border collie Lambo, adopted him when he was like 18 months, you know, and the owner giving him up because he attacked the maid, you know, and he brought him home. I trained with him. I start proper education, training, bonding, you know, and he's such a sweet dog, right? He does everything for me at home, you know, You know, after a long, you know, along the years, I have also, because I'm relatively busy training people and their dogs, the end of the day, not much time for him. And also because I have a multiple dog household, so I thought that that may help, but actually it didn't. End up, he becomes quite a reactive dog. You know, every time when I bring him up, he will tend to react. Beginning, he reacted with birds, you know, start reacting with dogs now. Thankfully, he doesn't react to human, but cyclists, joggers, car. He don't react to any such stimuli, you know. So it's only purely dogs, right? So it's, I think it's more like he wanted to go and greet them, you know. But sometimes I feel that when he's overly stimulated, I think that he will go and nip the dog, you know. That could be a problem, right? And you know, as I bring him out for a walk, you know, I have to plan my walk. I have to plan what are my contingency. You know, when I see a dog, what must I do, right? You know, and if I this route is not possible, can I take the next route? So all these things must be done as a dog owner who have a dog that is of such reactivity condition, right? So I guess we have no choice, right, but to make the best of it. But the good news is today we're going to discuss on the reactivity and how we can learn to cope and solve that problem. Right, so after the first step after basically identify the triggers, you know, so the next step basically is to teach the dog a new behavior, you know, to replace the reactive behavior. Right, this can be done through positive reinforcement, you know, and involve rewarding dog for displaying a desirable behavior and ignoring the redirecting unwanted behavior. Right, so for example, if a dog reacts to other dog, they can be taught to focus, right, at the owner and follow commands instead of barking and lunging, right? So when training a reactive dog, it's important to note, right, that we need to start with small manageable triggers and gradually increase the level of difficulty as the dog becomes more comfortable. And also important is to keep the training session short and to end on a positive note, right? And it's also important to work with a professional dog trainer or a behaviorist or help with the help on the reactivity, right? As this is not an easy task to do, I will recommend you to search for a positive dog trainer, right? Which will be able to help you on that, which is a very important thing that I will say, right? Okay, so so the next thing is that we want to talk about would be, you know, so what are the potential reasons, right, that and why a dog may develop reactivity, right? It's something that I think will set us thinking, which is important when we put on our thinking cap. That will help us to come up with a resolution that basically will stick and be effective, right? So here are the six reasons for why potentially why a dog started to being reactive, right? So one, lack of socialization, as I explained. Dog that has not been exposed to a variety of people, animals, environment during their critical socialization period, which is between 3 and 14 weeks of their age, may become more likely to become reactive as an adult. Right. So number two, right, which is in terms of trauma, you know, abuses. So dog that has been through traumatic experiences such as physical abuse or neglect can develop reactivity as a result, right? And the third condition, the third reason is medical condition. So certain medical conditions such as thyroid imbalance or sensory impairment can contribute to reactivity in dogs, right? The fourth thing is fear or anxiety. So dogs that are anxious or fearful may react aggressively or excessively when encountered with things they are afraid of. Right, the fifth thing is a learned behavior, right? So some dogs may have learned to react through positive reinforcement. For example, if a dog barks at the people and receive attention as a result, the dog will continue to bark to get attention, right? So the sixth one, which can be the reason why your dog ends up being reactive, is the lack of proper training, right? Dogs that haven't been through or taught appropriate behavior may not know how to appropriately behave in a certain situation, right? So what is reactivity at the end of the day, right? Now we know that what causes it, what is the trigger, right? And what causes it, and now we can look at the solution, right? If you look into a dog training perspective, right, you know, what we really need to do is that we will not stop our dog from being engaged by a certain stimulus. For example, he sees a cat, you know, he can stare at it, you know, and then we require an interrupter. So interrupter can be something that you can call him out of that trance of him. For example, it can be a name that we call, you know, that the dog, once he hears that name, he knows that he needs to come back. So that's why we will recommend you to use a specific name for training, right? So example for us in class, right, if you are at my age, you realize that when we are in school, you know, when your teacher just call you your name, you know, it's always about something positive, something that is not of a certain level of immediate reaction that needs from you. But when your teacher calls you with your full name, with your name, the full name, right, basically it means that immediate attention is needed, right? Either you need to respond, you need to stop doing what you're doing, and that is what we are talking about today, right? So if you can, you know, put it as an interrupter. So if I use a specific name, for example, and tell the dog that name, and that means it is interrupter. I need you to come to respond to that. Turning back your head, where then I can follow through with a similar next command to be able to call you out of that situation. Right, so that is a very important, which I think as a trainer, we need to make sure we and we will help the dog to understand that, you know, you can cease, you can get distracted, but when we actually calls you or interrupt you, you need to react, right? Meaning to turn back or do something and come back and get a better reinforcement. Right, so for a thing for a reactive dog, right, we need to understand what we call the distance between others, right? And we call it the social distance, right? It's also known as personal space, body space, comfort zone, right? Or what we say, what we call the use of space as proximics, right? So proximics communication is basically communicating with others by virtue of relative positioning of a body. Right, since we've gone through the COVID outbreak, now that we are in the endemic, you know, we are all very familiar with this term called social distancing, right? So in the past, I don't think we are very cautious about, right? But let's take an example, right? When you first meet a friend, right, usually you realize that you will stand at a very comfortable distance between two persons. You know, as you exchange name, shake their hand and things like that. That's because that at that point of time, there is a social distance that all of us will feel comfortable with each other. We will not stand that close because you do not know me. There is no need for us to be such of intimacy in the sense. Right, but if you're with your good friends, your wife, your kids, I guess your social distancing is going to be so close, right? Can be as close as stick to your body and things like that, right? And that is because you are already know that, you know, you are familiarized with each other, therefore the distance becomes shorter and shorter, right? So in dictionary, right, social distance refers to the extent which people express a sense of familiarity, right, whether nearness or intimacy or unfamiliarities, the difference between themselves and people belonging to a different social stigma, right? Ethics, occupation, or religious belief from their own, right? So this social distance basically is not a static cognitive attribution of acceptance, right? So people can change, can shift, and they can disconnect or with various group across different contexts. So in this context of discussion, social distancing or threshold or distance are interchangeable, right? So in the canine world, social distance refers to the comfort distance between dogs, animals, and human, right? And this is even more a concern if you have a reactive dog. So a reactive dog, again, what is a reactive dog? Reactive dog is a dog who overreacts, you know, usually by barking, lunging, tugging, leash, snaring, growling at each other and people, or stimuli, you know, when a dog is on leash, and it may be different, you know, on overreact when they are off leash. So as a responsible dog owner, right, the very first time we came to notice and learn is the threshold of distance. it will amplify, right, if you have reactive dog. So therefore, as myself, like take example of Lumbo again, when I go out for my walk, the distance between me and the next dog is a very critical point that I will always be very careful. You know, I will always have that threshold distance or social distance that Lumbo is comfortable, and therefore allowing him to have time to give what we call a displacement behavior, right? So that is one of the way that I manage the dog. Right, so let's look at, right, how do we manage and eventually overcome reactivity, right? So there are four, right, scientific solutions that you can use to manage or minimize leash reactivity, right? So we have classical conditioning, we have counter conditioning, right? We have construction aggression treatment. So basically, there's three main category for what you call for this purpose of discussion, for our solution for reactive dog, right? So classical conditioning, right? So our aim basically is not to suppress the dog, but to manage situation as in to change the perspective of the dog, right? So for example, if my dog hates to see a cat, so maybe you can think for a moment, what happened if now you see a cat, you know, you get something good, right? You see a cat, you eat something you like. You see a cat, you get to play a game of toy, a tub. You see a cat, you get something you like, right? So what we are trying to do is that we are associating right now that the cat is basically a indication of something good is going to happen, right? Therefore, the dog will start, associating the good behavior of it, right, which is very important, right? And that is what we want to do, right? So what is counter conditioning, right? So counter conditioning is a very similar to extinction as in classical conditioning. This is a process of getting rid of an unwanted behavior or response. By counter condition, the unwanted response may not just disappear, but it's replaced by a wanted response. Right, so this is conditioning, right? So in psychology, counter-conditioning refers to the technique or the process by which behavior is modified through a new association with a stimuli of an opposite variance, right? So that's what we are trying to look at. So what are the types of counter-conditioning, right? So there are basically two types of counter-conditioning or two types of habituation, right? One is called flooding. One is called desensitization. So this type of counter conditioning, right, what we call classical conditioning or operant counter conditioning. So basically, there's two. So maybe let me repeat it again. Okay. So in terms of counter conditioning, there are two types of habituation, right? Habituation basically is through flooding or desensitization, and the two types of counter conditioning is actually classical condition, counter conditioning, or operant conditioning, right? And this is very important. Okay. So, and the last part of a resolution for teaching a reactive dog is what we call a construction aggression treatment, right? So, construction aggression treatment basically teaches you, you know, that a dog will basically learn that certain stimuli, you know, that is affecting the dog will move away, you know, if you exhibit a right behavior. So I give an example. So when I see a dog, I bark. The moment I decided to shut my mouth, the triggers move away. So what you want the dog basically to understand is that, now it's a very different a picture, right? So the construction itself is to basically creates the opportunity where the dog gets to understand that the barks that he's dumping is not going to stop the trigger, but exhibiting a good behavior such as stop barking, sniff the ground, you know, licking the chops, sniffing the air, you know, smelling the ground, for example, you know, eating the food from the ground. So these are all very good construction that the dog must exhibit so that the triggers will move away from the dog itself, right? So these are some of the way that I think that will help us to manage the dog in terms of dog's reactivity, right? So dog with reactivity is not the end of the road, right? If you seek professional advice and determined to overcome reactivity, you're on the road of great recovery, right? Pet good pet ownership does not mean to give your dog good shelter, food, comfort, responsibility, right? It goes beyond that and to ensure your dog have a quality of life, right? So living with a reactive dog is living with quality, right? So therefore, I will recommend you seek professional help, right? But I will say that you should seek professional positive trainer help, right? Because our dog needs to have a positive approach, right? So when we say positive, doesn't mean that there's no punishment, but positive will just means that, you know, whatever he learns is all in a way that it's been set up for success, you know, and the dog learns it in a way of, you know, if I do this, I get this, you know, instead of suppression, you know, we want the dog to really learn, and from there, how to recover from the state of reactivity and then capable of re-engaging themselves, entering back to the dog society or the human society, so that they learn that you know, meeting another dog doesn't need to mean that it has to be barking, lunging, biting, tugging the leash, things like that, right? Right. So I want to just leave it with you, and I hope that you enjoyed today's series. We just want to thank you again keeping your tab on our Train of Dog podcast. And I would like to ask you for your help. If you have a friend that you think that this episode of this podcast can help them, please send the link to them. If you can, go to the podcast and then give us a review, because we will take it as once you give us feedback, that will be a positive reinforcement for me, so that I can continue to come back and create quality podcast, so that I can continue to contribute to the environment, to the society, right? So thank again, right? And I hope to catch you the next one. Okay, thanks. Bye. Thanks again for listening to our podcast, and you can find us in www.pups.com.sg. And again, pups is pups.com.sg. And if you like our podcast and our episode, we will want you to, you know, to subscribe on the favorite listening podcast media, and you will be able to get the updated series as and when we have a new episode out for grabs, right? And we want you to provide us some feedback and some, reinforcement, so that we can continue to do a great job, provide a great experience and a great podcast to share with you guys. You can leave a review at www.podcaster.com/pupssg. Right, as I repeat again, you can leave a review at www.podchaser.com/pups, PUPSSG. Right, and we want to thank you again. We see you in our next episode.